I hope the song service ministered to every part of you. Amen. I just love that song, Scars Come With Living, because a lot of us think we won't have any scars because we walk with God. But if you read the word, everybody that walked with God had scars. And the closer they walked, the more scars they received. Well, Father, we truly do thank you for everyone that came out here tonight. I thank you, Father God, for those who know who they are in you. And they are gladly carrying those scars for others to see as Jesus did when he hung on a cross. I thank you, Father God, that they've submitted themselves to you totally and completely from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. And Father, that the enemy is now running from them instead of toward them because he fears them. And Father, we thank you that you're here tonight. Your Holy Spirit is here. Your angelic host is here. And Father God, you are ministering to your people, bringing them even higher than you did this morning. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you really listen to Toby Mac's song, they're all about life. And I think this is where the body of Christ gets it all wrong, because we don't think we need to live life. We think we should be overlooked. You know, we should never have to struggle with anything, that we should be overlooked just because we are one of God's children. But that is not how it works. Because you're a child of God, the devil's after you all the time. But God has promised us that we have arrived in an hour when the enemy is no longer going to be able to touch us. And I believe that. I really do. And God said the other day, he said, I want my people to walk in simplicity in their walk with me and even in my word. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, about simplicity. We make things so complicated in our walk with God. We really do. And yet when people talk to you, they make it even more complicated because they don't understand anything. So we really can't judge those who do that, because we who know better, we sometimes get confused too. All right, Jesus simplified everything he touched. The Old Testament saints had 10 commandments to guide them, but Jesus said you can simplify these 10 and reduce them to 2. And Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So from the 10, he brought it down to 2, which is love God with all your being and your neighbor as yourself. This is not easy, but it's simple to grasp. We hear that, we speak that, but we don't grasp that. And it's a very simple statement. He didn't have anything in any confusion there, did he? But we make confusion in there. Life can indeed be complex. The common people heard Jesus gladly because they knew what he was saying. Jesus had the gift of simplicity. And God wants to give you that gift of simplicity tonight, so that when you speak to people, you can speak plainly to them, you know, and not in parables, and you can speak a language that they can understand. Now, when I first started, you know, I went to college. I worked at the college. I went to college because it's just a thing you did, and I liked school anyhow. And so when I was preaching words. I was looking to people, and I thought, they don't understand a thing I'm saying. I've got to get down on their level. I'm not speaking in college now. I'm not in a college classroom. I'm in the house of God, and I need to get down to the people's level. And so that's what God, I mean, you know, God told me to do that. And so that's what we did. We just started speaking simply, making the word of God simple for everybody to understand. And, you know, these people say these, thous, and those, and you know, do all kind of stuff. You aren't getting, people don't understand what you're doing. And so instead of winning them, you are losing them. So even when you write your books, let's not get out there and show people how you can use these great big words. I used to, one guy in college used to say they were 50-cent words that you threw out there to impress people. So don't do that. Be simple. You know, simplify everything, and so people can understand really truly what you're saying to them, and then they can apply it. Now, here's what Jesus did. Jesus had the gift of simplicity, and this is what he said in Matthew 6:25. That is Jesus speaking. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Now, that's simple. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Then he says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. See that? Very simple. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? All that's simple, and you can understand that, can't you? No, you can't, because you don't apply it. Come on. You know, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. What does everybody do? They worry about tomorrow. They worry about 6 months from now. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. So verse 31 says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Now, what did God tell us? It's coming a time when there isn't going to be enough food. But what did he tell us? He would feed us. Now, how many of you are really believing that? That's very simple. When there's no food, I'm going to feed you. So you stand on that, right? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. You know, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And we tell you that all the time. We read it all the time, and we even speak it, but we don't believe that. Your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And we fret and carry on like a bunch of fools, don't we? That God's not going to do what he said he's going to do, not going to be able to take care of us. Oh, what am I going to do if this happens? What am I going to do if that happens? Then God said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Do what? Simple. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else in your life. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So right there, you really don't have to worry about nothing. He said, if you seek the kingdom of God above all else and then live what you're seeking, he will give you everything you need. How simple is that? You want it to sound more complicated? Come on. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You know, worry is a sin. I tell that to different people in my house all the time. No, you can't worry. Worry is a sin. You know, and yet they still try to worry. They think worrying is going to fix everything, and it doesn't. It complicates everything. All right, Paul knew that life was not simple, but it is a goal to aim for. One of the dominant themes of Matthew 6 is on success in simplicity. Do you want to have a life well rewarded for your spiritual efforts in prayer, giving, and fasting? Jesus says, do not make it complicated by trying to please the masses. All right? You only have to please God, so keep it secret and keep it simple. I'm fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and I don't know if I'm going to make the next 30 days. I'm just already weak, and I can't hardly think or walk, or, you know, and you have this little thing going, or you want everybody to feel sorry for you because you can't put food in your body. What are you going to do if you're in a prison and they don't feed you? You're just going to have to not eat. Come on. Food has become your God. And that's why people don't fast. They think they're going to die without the food, and really you're going to die with the food. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Why? That they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. How many people would you see like love to stand up and pray out loud and use all kind of religious words and carry on because they want you to see them and hear them? But God says, don't do that. Go into a room and close the door. Be all by yourself, just you and God. And verse 7 says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. That's why I don't like canned prayers that people pass out. I just don't like. That's not from your heart. That's from somebody else's heart that they've typed up, and they want you to, they're telling you, you have to pray the way they pray, and then you'll have results. It's not true. I think just, oh, God, I really need you now. You don't need a 6-page prayer to pray to say that. You see what we're saying here? Be simple in your prayer life. Oh, God, I'm just hurting so bad I can't even talk, and so all you do is sit there and cry. You don't have to quote scriptures and do all this stuff that these people who hand out these prayer things tell you to do. You just really don't. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to type something up and tell you how to pray. That's my heart. It's not your heart. That's my need. That's not your need. And I can put scriptures in to cover everything I say. But God wants you to go into the secret place, and he wants you to talk from your heart. Right? And maybe the thing they hand out, I don't know why I'm on this handout thing, but maybe the thing they hand out might be talking about your situation, but it's not you talking to God from the depth of your heart about your situation. All right? All right. When you pray or talk to God, he does not want to hear eloquent, empty words. God already knows your need before you ask, so keep it simple. And God told me, he said, my people complicate things so bad. And if they just come before me and just be plain and simple, I could move mightily in their lives. Oh, God, I'm a sinner. Hear my prayer. God already knows you're a sinner. What are you trying to do by doing all that? You know? I want you to think about this. How do you pray? All right, Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve God and the devil. You can only serve one master at a time. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. Even when things are down to two, you know, T-W-O, Jesus is still saying simplify and cut it down to one only as Lord. You can't love your life, your wife like you love God. You can't do that. That's two idols that you have. You have to love God first and then love your spouse, your children, and anybody else. But you can't put them both on the same level. And God has to be on the top floor. All right? Thor, who was a lifelong evolutionist, said, simplify, simplify, simplify. I say, let your affairs be as 2 or 3 and not 100 or 1,000. Simplify, simplify. He went around freeing the slaves, this young man did. And the people were making everything so difficult, and it was so simple to do, and they was making it difficult where it was hard to do because they were trying to do all this other junk, you know. And all they had to do was just go forth and just do what God told them to do, and the slaves would have went free. Now, Jesus went beyond this and said, your life is a complicated mess until you cut down to only one ultimate loyalty, which is God. That's what his whole word tells us. And the reason why your life is a mess is because you're trying to serve the devil and serve God, and you're trying to make it, you know, some great big thing, mystery that isn't even there. And because God's word, if you really read it, is very simple. That's why I like the Message Bible sometimes, because they make it very simple, right? Same words, just simplifying them. All right, he ends this chapter by saying, you know, Paul does, ends this chapter by saying, do not get caught up in worry over many things. Simplify by seeking first the kingdom of God, and all the complex pieces of the puzzle will come together. If God says, do not worry about tomorrow, then why are you sitting fretting about tomorrow? You're making everything complicated. What's going to happen tomorrow is going to happen. I don't care if you act like a fool or not the day before. God has it all mapped out. And the reason why it comes out wrong is because you don't know what God's doing. And so you're trying to complicate things by thinking what should happen. And how many of us do that? I don't even think about tomorrow anymore. You know, I really don't. Because we don't know if we're going to see tomorrow. So why worry or think about something you might never see? And God's told us so often right here in this church, live one day at a time. That's all you can bear, he said. One day at a time. He didn't say 10 days at a time. One day at a time. Well, what's going to happen 6 months from now? I don't know, and I really don't care. Because that's all 6 months of worrying. And I'm trying to get through today, right? So if we just go one day at a time and let God work those days out, we will not be caught up in a mess. Amen? Come on. All right, don't reach out into tomorrow. Keep it simple and live one day at a time. I got ahead of myself there, didn't I? This entire chapter from beginning to end has one common theme. Keep it simple. Life is complicated. We can't say it isn't now. Love is complicated, but the Lord is not complicated. Are you putting the Lord in today? Then your day should not be complicated, because God is there leading, guiding, and directing you in that day. How can this be when God is the author of life and love and all the vast universe of complexities? So I said, life is complicated. Love is complicated, but the Lord is not complicated. Then we said, how can this be when God is the author of life and love and all the vast universe of complexities? The many, which is you and I, have our source in the one who is God. So even though reality is complex, the source of reality is simple. Period. Oh, I have to go to court tomorrow. I don't know how it's going to turn out. If you're serving God, God does. You just don't worry about how it's going to turn out. You just go and be. Just go and be. And then let God take care of everything, because you've already proven that you can't take care of it, or you won't be going to court. Right? Amen. So you need a good lawyer in there, right? A good judge. Oh. I told you a story about this guy who was on drugs and everything. You know, he had his own band and everything, and they coerced him in to come to church one Sunday because the anointing was there. And when he came in there, he thought that I was crazy to begin with right off the bat. But then God told him, you're going to go to court tomorrow, and they're telling you you're going to go away for quite some time. But I'm telling you, when you go to court tomorrow, you'll walk out of there a free man, because they're going to lose your records. Then he really thought I was crazy. He told his family, she's nuts. what happened. He went to court the next day. He was worried about what was going to happen the next day, okay? That's why I'm telling the story now. He went to court the next day and walked in there, and they said, they called him by name, and he said, "You can go," because they said, "We can't find your record, so you're free." And he was free from that day forth, but he was also free from the world because he gave his heart to Jesus. See, he was sweating these great big drops, you know, and of sweat. And he was just worried and concerned and carrying on. And God told him, "Nothing to worry about. I have it." But he's still worried. He was still thinking all these terrible things that were going to happen to him. How many years is he going to spend in prison? And he should have. But God told him, "That's not going to happen. You do the same thing, just about different things in your life. God tells you how things are going to turn out, and you bawl and squall, and you sweat and carry on, and you know, you imagine all kind of bad things, and you're just wasting your time, all right, because God already told you how it's going to turn out. So all you do is you just sit back and let God work, because he's the miracle worker. You are not. All right. Simplicity has two sides. I think that's where I'm at. The book of Proverbs warns of the folly of being simple-minded, which means lacking wisdom and discernment. The simple can be simpletons and be led like an ox to the slaughter by the cleverness of the tempter, the devil. Proverbs 8:5, the Message Bible, makes it very simple. Listen, you idiots. Learn good sense. You blockheads, shape up. And I didn't write down the other version because I really like that. Listen, you idiots. Learn good sense. You blockheads, shape up. So being simple-minded will turn you into a people-pleaser. If you do not have good judgment, then you will try to please everyone around you. And how many of us at one point have been people pleasers? I have. Before I was born again, I didn't know any difference. I don't know more. I really don't care what you think. Amen? Come on. And I try to make everything really simple. All right, Galatians 3, 1 through 3 says, "O foolish Galatians," this is Paul speaking, "who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Here Paul is so amazed that he called them foolish Galatians, who are such simpletons that they allow themselves to be led back into trusting in the law. None of you are simpletons. No. You're not going to let the devil take you backwards. You heard what God told you, what your future is going to be. Now you're going to walk forward into that future, and you're going to do it one day at a time, one step at a time, until you get to where God said you're going to be. That is simple. "Well, but what if this happens? And what if that?" Come on. Things are going to happen. And if you keep saying, "What if this happens?" it's going to happen. You know, because you're speaking that right into existence. God said. And that's what you should stand on. God said. If God said that everything's going to work out perfectly, then it's going to work out perfectly. If God said everybody's going to be happy, then everybody's going to be happy. And they're going to be understanding. But you, little simpleton, you sit there and make it so complicated, worrying about what is going to happen between A and Z. God's not worried about it. And he's told you the truth, and all you have to do is walk it out. "Well, it doesn't look that way." No, it never does it? It never looks the way God says it's going to look. The devil's going to make sure of that. All right, it is possible to be simple in a way that makes simplicity synonymous with stupidity. There is a childishness as well as a childlikeness, and they are opposite kinds of simplicity. And I didn't want to go into all that, so you can look that up yourself. Okay, Alexander White wrote, "There is so much that is not simple and sincere in this world. He said, there is so much falsehood and duplicity. There are so many men abroad whose endeavors are to waylay, mislead, entrap, and corrupt the simple-minded. Trap who? The simple-minded and the inexperienced, that it is next to impossible that any youth shall long remain in the world both simple and safe also. This is what he said. In other words, he's saying there's so much junk going on out there that when the younger people come into the house of God, they might not be able to stay saved. Because we're as stupid as the world is. But we aren't. Now, we're the brightest people in the world, are we not? Sure we are. Yes, yes. And we don't do anything dumb. Now you can repent right now, okay? We aren't going to do anything dumb after tonight, though, are we? We are not going to make our walk with God complicated. It is what it is, and life does go on. And as you read the Word of God, everybody that served God suffered. And see, the problem is the world doesn't understand that they're serving the devil and they are really suffering. And then when they go to die and go to hell, they're really going to suffer. Right? But you and I, when we die, we're going to be in heavenly places, walking those streets of gold, helping God do the battle that needs to be done, and we're going to inherit all of God's blessings. There's nothing complicated about that. You either want to be blessed all the days of your life, or you want to be cursed all the days of your life. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve the devil? Make it simple. All right, so I'm going to serve the devil now. He's going to give me every desire of my heart, which he does. And then, whenever my life's over, then he's going to take me to hell and torment me forever. Or I can, that's simple, plain. Or I can serve God now. I can go through persecution, have sorrows because I serve Christ. And then when I go and die, I'm going to go into heavenly places and I'm going to be blessed all the days of my life. What's 80 years of torment towards 1,000 of living forever in pure peace and harmony? Aren't we going to be here 1,000 years? Perfect peace? So I don't care how old you are. There's just no comparison. You already lived half of it or three quarters of it, so let's just go the whole way. And let's just quit making it complicated. These young kids, they don't know whether they're going up or going down. And why is that? It's because the grown-ups don't know if they're going up or going down. I mean, they don't know which way to turn. Their parents don't know which way to turn. You know, I'm going to tell you guys, you know, my grandson was there yesterday, and he said, Mom, you gave us the best foundation that you could ever give us, and that was Christ. And, you know, they were taken out of the home and mistreated and went through pure hell for 8 years or so. But they said, we always held on to your teachings. We always held on to that foundation. We always held on to the fact you told us, no matter what we go through, God is with us and he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what brought them through. And see, but they had an adult who was strong in the Lord. And you parents have to be strong in the Lord and give them a sure foundation. And not only speak it, but you have to live it. Are you hearing? And my grandson said to me, he said, Mom, he said, you're everybody's safe place. Anybody can come here and it's a safe place. He said, I don't care if addicts come here. He said, they know it's a safe place. And you know, that made me feel good. I had to give up a lot to give these children this kind of a upbringing. But it's worth it all to hear that the foundation they received when they was with me is what kept them all the days of their lives. And now what's going to happen? We talked about this too. They're going to pass that on down to their children when they start having children. And then their children will pass it on down to their children. Somebody has to lead the way. And God says, everybody comes in here is going to be a leader. So you guys are going to be leaders. You have to lead the way. You have to break a path for these other people to follow. And it has to be a sure foundation. Amen. I know we sang happy birthday to Brother Allen, but I'll never forget the first day he came in here. He sat right back there in that back row, and all he did was stare at me like this. Never blinked an eye, never moved anything. I said, what is the matter with that man? And as I kept looking, what is wrong with him? He doesn't move nothing. Then I found out later he was caught up in the Holy Spirit, and he was just in awe. But look where he's at today. He's not where he was at that day. And the Holy Spirit's brought him thus far, and the Holy Spirit will take him on until the day Jesus decides to take him on home. This is what you need to do, guys. You need to be a leader that others can grow under and go forth in and do the mighty works that God wants you to do. And I listened to some of the prophetic words that God gives you people recently. They're deep, and they have so much meaning to them. Before he was growing you up, now he's getting ready to send you forth. And he's giving you some really good words. I hope you're holding on to them, and I hope you're growing by them. All right, Matthew 6:22 says, Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. All right? Simplicity, according to Jesus, is simply to live with a single eye. That is a single dominant motive, which is to please God. Your ultimate goal in life is to please God, not anybody around about you, but God. You have to get that today. You have to get that single eye. I'm going to only please God. I'm not going to try to please my parents. I'm not going to try to please my husband or my boyfriend or girlfriend or the next door neighbor. I'm going to please God. And if I please God, everything falls into place. All right. People are going to speak all manner of evil of you. Did they not do that to Jesus? Jesus never made anything complicated. He spoke. His words are very, very simple. He was speaking to very simple people. He wasn't speaking to the dignitaries. The dignitaries all rejected him. He was speaking to people like you and me. And in his word, as you read his word, you can understand what he was saying. And if you don't understand some of his parables, ask him to explain it to you like the disciples did. Say, Father, we don't understand what you're saying. So he explained it. So if you don't understand even a word that God's given you, then sit down with God and say, God, I don't understand what you just said here. Don't call the prophet. Call in God. Say, God, please let me know what you're really saying here in this word to me. And then if you have spiritual eyes, ears to hear, you will hear that still small voice explaining to you exactly what he just said to you through a prophet. All right? Okay, I said simplicity, according to Jesus, is simply to live with a single eye, and that is a single dominant motive, which is to please God. And this means there is only one ultimate loyalty in the successfully simplified life. Now, two ultimate loyalties are one too many, and it complicates life. That, in other words, that when you're trying to serve God and trying to serve the devil at the same time, then you have two. All right. It's better make up your mind. I'm going to serve Jesus or I'm going to serve Satan. And then your life's going to become simple. All right. It's like trying to stop two tennis balls at the same time. The lack of concentration on one ball leads to a breakdown in your mental capacity, and you will tend to miss both. I would do that. I'd miss both balls. Amen. And I know that. See, God's telling you, you have to know where your loyalty lies, and you have to know what is going on with you, and then you won't complicate things. You will make things simple because you are a simpleton at times. And you can't deal with complicated things anymore. Are you understanding this? And like I said, when I first started teaching, I used college words. Then I knew that wasn't making it. And well, God told me it was, and I knew it too, but then I used, simple words. And about 2 years ago, I said, God, I can't remember the college words anymore now. I've spoken simple words so often, so long, but that's okay with God. That's all right. He doesn't want anything complicated. I worked with a young man out on the air base, and he was going to college, okay? He'd come in every morning and babble off this junk. And I said to one of the guys, why does he do that? He says, well, he's using 50-cent college words trying to impress you. I said, well, he's not impressing me. I wish he would stop. You know, and that's the way some speakers do. They use words to impress you. God should be the one to impress you, not someone with eloquent words. All right, successful simplicity is not the rejection of complexity, but the unifying of it. You do not have to deny the reality of life's complexity and try to escape it. You accept reality for what it really is, but you keep life simple by being dominated and motivated by a single purpose, which is pleasing God. You're always going to have complexities. You don't say, that's not there. That's denial. Right? And that's not God. It is there. But you don't have to make it, keep it complex. You can serve God, and He'll tell you how to keep it simple. All right. Knowing the will of God is an issue all Christians struggle with at some point. Knowing the will of God. One of the best ways to know if you are doing God's will is to simply ask, is what I am doing pleasing to God? Isn't that simple? It's too simple. We have to have it complicated. It's just too simple for us. Brent said, simplicity is not doing one thing. It is doing all things for one motive. Brent was a pastor. The most dangerous thing in life is trying to jump over. Now, I thought this was sort of neat when I saw this. The most dangerous thing in life is trying to jump over a chasm in two jumps. It is one or not at all. Amen? Isn't that neat? The same is true with the leap from a complex life to a simple life. It is a single jump to that solid rock where nothing is more important than pleasing God. The same is true with the leap from a complex life to a simple life. It is a single jump to that solid rock where nothing is more important than pleasing God. Simple. Just please God, and everything will fall into place. How many times you said, God, I just don't know how to work through this. And He was saying, sit still and I'll make it simple for you and I'll tell you how to walk through it where there won't be any complex in it. All right. I don't know how to love my wife. I know you don't. I watch you. But God knows how to love your wife. So you say, God, you know, show me how. You show me how to love my wife. You show me how to love my children. Don't go ask a pastor. They don't know themselves, you know, most of the time. Don't go ask a prophet. Go to God. God, you show. Because, all right, a prophet doesn't know what's going on in your life unless God shows them. And a pastor, all he sees or she sees is what you show them by your actions in church. But God knows all things. He knows what kind of husband or what kind of wife you're trying to love. And He's the only one that can tell you how to love them through their complexities, right? Come on. And I'm sorry, but we're not, and there's not a one in this room that you're always so wonderful that you can be loved like that. You're always going to cry out to God, God, I need your help. Today they're being a mess. And I don't know why they're being a mess, so I need you to step in here and help me through this today. All right, human nature resists simplicity because it does not leave enough room for creativity. Fallen human nature loves complexity. This leaves the door open for rationalization, self-justification, and a host of other ways to throw a monkey wrench into the machinery of life. That's what this Brent said, and this is true. I agree with him. When two women, now this is from the Bible, when two women, which were harlots, argued over the custody of a baby, King Solomon resolved a very complex case that baffled the judges of his day by threatening to cut the baby in two and give half of the corpse to each woman. And it worked. And in that story, a biological mother of the living baby offers to give the baby away if only the king will spare its life. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 3, 16 through 28. But 1 Kings 3, 28 says, and all Israel heard of the judgment which a king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. What did they see? The wisdom of God. And everybody that looks at you should see the wisdom of God in you. They shouldn't see you making judgments. They should see the wisdom of God in you. But someone said, try satisfying two children by cutting a cupcake in half. Inevitably, one will charge that you always give the other one the biggest piece. That happens in my house, okay? One parent found a simple solution to this problem. She said to her son, you get to cut the cake, and your sister gets the first choice of the pieces. It seemed foolproof, for you could count on it. He made the cut as even as a human can detect. But this sister deliberately ate her equal-sized piece slowly, so that when her brother was finished, she could waft it in under his nose and say, ha, I outfoxed you again and got the biggest piece. So she didn't. She just ate her slowly. This is why simplicity can still be so complex. Life is not simple. We all know that. But we don't have to walk in the complexity of it either. We walk with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead God and direct us. It is because of the human heart that refuses to abide by the principle of simplicity. I said, this is why simplicity can still be so complex. It is because of the human heart that refuses to abide by the principles of simplicity, like that young lady did. That is why the gospel is despised and rejected by men. It is too simple. You mean all I have to do is believe in Jesus? Nah, has to be more to it than that. Isn't that what you hear? All right. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. There's no complexity there. Very simple. There is only one way to the Father. Simple. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Simple. But have you ever heard? Well, you have. You've read and you've heard how complicated they try to make getting saved is. Same way with the Holy Spirit. They make it so complicated. You know, they line you up and say, boo, boo, ba, ba, hee, haw, and now you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You are not. They made it so messed up, and all they had to do was just say, stand up there and raise your arms, and the Holy Spirit will come. Simple, right? And I really hate that. I know when I was first born again, they tell you to do all that, and then if you didn't fall down, then they smacked you on the forehead, and if you didn't go down, they hit you real hard, knocked you down. There, see, now you have the Holy Spirit. No, now I have a bruise on my forehead, you know. That's when I say it's a holy. When people come up here, I can see they're waiting for me to do something. I'm not going to do anything. I say it's a Holy Spirit, not me. You let the Holy Spirit touch you. I'm not going to. I could, and you would go down because of the anointing, but I want you to know that you were touched by the Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit. All right? I've lost my place. All right, men want to complicate the simple gospel and add a few other requirements here and there, for this gives them a measure of power and a sense of superiority. Now, the simple gospel puts all men on the same level, and men don't want to be in the same level. All have sinned, but all can be saved by simple faith in Christ. Ministers advertise that if you send in $1,000, you will be healed. That is not what Jesus said in Isaiah 53:5. It says, but he who was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Not by $1,000 gift to some pastor. I have never liked that. I never will like that, because that all that is you're putting money into your pocket and you're lying to the people. And when it doesn't come to pass, the people lose faith and don't serve God anymore. You need to stop that. And I think I'm just like some pastors have advertised, yeah, that's what we did. And now they're saying we're sorry. And I'm watching them have the big ministry. And I said, people are so gullible, you know, so gullible. All right, life's greatest decision is not complex, but very simple. Just believe and be saved. Didn't have it doesn't say have faith and be saved. It says believe, but we know we have a measure of faith. So don't say I'm not. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. But we also have to remember the word believe. We have to believe that what God's word says is true, and we can count on Him. Life may not be simple, but the Lord of life is. Love may not be simple, but the Lord of love is. Married people make marriage too complicated. Like God, I said, God, I always hear this word is submit. Submit. I was sick of hearing that word when I went to church. I said to God, I said, why are they talking about submit? He said, if they were really following me and loveth me, the word submit would never enter anybody's mouth. If they were really following God, he said. And I told that to my pastor and I was kicked out of the church. But you know, that's the truth. You know? The more we are truly surrendered to Christ, the more we will be set free from the burdens of complexity to enjoy the blessings of simplicity. In believing and in obeying our Lord, we find success in simplicity. And, you know, because I said, God, I just do such simple things. You know, I feel like I'm not being higher or whatever. He said, daughter, I've called you because you are. You do have simplicity, and my people need to understand that following me is not complex, all right? Don't go out there and try to impress people. Just go out there and be who you are, and just let God work through you. Be simple. You know, I didn't say a simpleton or simple-minded. Just be simple, and don't be complex. And Luke 19 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. How simple is that? We can't even get that right. We keep trying to get the saved saved. And, you know, God told me one time, he said, you're trying to get the church saved, and I didn't come to save the church. I come to save the lost, and there it is. It's in Luke 19:10. It's in Matthew too. So remember, Jesus simplified everything he touched. The Old Testament saints had 10 commandments to guide them, but Jesus said you can simplify these 10 and reduce them to 2. Love God with all your being and your neighbors as yourself. If you do that, life's a breeze. Life is a breeze. But can you do that? Can you be just be who you are? You know? Yeah, you know, Delia gets up here and she is just who she is. She's a free bird now. She's not a prisoner in that cage. And she just lets God move through her. I wished everybody would do that. I wished everybody would understand, I'm not in a prison anymore. And I can go to church and I can do it in my house and just praise God with all my heart. And the enemy has to flee. Really treating when she was up here and she was playing that tambourine and singing. You know, I said, God, she can go into somebody's home, and set that home free from demonic influence just because she is free herself. And she praises you from the depth of that freedom. You know, how deep is your freedom? You know? And she's even getting a note to her singing. Did you notice that? Yeah, her singing's even getting better. You know, how's your life? I'm Bishop so-and-so, and you're going to honor me. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I honor one person, that's the Lord himself. And anyhow, there were so many bishops around when I first started. I said, God, where's all these bishops coming from? He said, they're self-appointed. I have not called them to be bishops. And so if you're calling yourself bishop, maybe you need to stop and say, how did I get that title? Yeah, I'm not knocking bishops, I'm not. But I'm just saying, how did you get that title? Did God give you that title? Did man? Or did you yourself start calling yourself bishop? You know, and God's saying, when you call yourself bishop, be careful of calling yourself that because you're lording it over my people. And I'm going to judge you for that. And God told me one time, I don't like titles. He doesn't like titles. He didn't call a title, he called you. With who you are, your personality, you know, and your love for life, and your love for people. And he wants to use you in that capacity. God is trying to simplify the body of Christ. He's trying to get all these idols that we worship out of the way. Are you allowing him to remove the idols, and are you only worshiping God himself? Come on. But what I preach, really, I just tell you that you might as well just leave, and you know, because I'm nothing. Now, you know, I know who I am, and I know what God's called me to be. And I know that my life has not been complicated because God was always in it. And no matter what I went through, he simplified everything. And I think if each one of you were honest, you could say the same thing. My life was only complicated because I made it that way. I was giving into the ways of the world and not the ways of God. And because I was complicating it myself, I wasn't walking in simplicity with Christ, which is simplicity is the truth. Just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's all you have to do. And then walk out your beatings. Because the very minute you get born again, the devil comes after you. I always went to church and always lived a holy life, but I didn't know what I know now. And when I became born again, the devil come at me with everything he had. And he's still coming at me with everything he has. But I know who I serve, and I know he's greater than the devil. Do you know that this evening? Do you know that the one you serve is greater than, do you know that Jesus Christ is greater than the devil? Because I really don't know who some of you are serving. Come on. Truth. God's saying truth will bring the captives home. Now, are you going to go to the people with who you are, just who you are, not trying to put on any airs? Just go to them with who you are and just talk to them like Jesus talks to you. Some of you in here tonight, you're trying to figure out really what life's all about. You love the Lord, but you're still trying to figure out what life's all about. You're never going to figure that out. I'm sorry to tell you that, because life is complicated, but God has your life all worked out, and if you just follow him and do what he's telling you to do, your life will be great. And if you're going to go through a trial, he'll tell you you're going to go through a trial, and he'll tell you what you're going to go through as you go through the trial, and he'll tell you how the trial is going to end. Some of you don't know that. You're just walking, existing, and you really have no hope in anything. Tonight, God wants to change all that. So if you're one of those who just, you're not quite sure what God is wanting to do with your life, and if your life really is complicated, I thought it was neat the day where God said, somebody was prophesying to somebody in here, and God said, the boomerang effect is on her life. And then God said, the person that was trying to hurt you, now that hurt's going to boomerang around back to them. God is going to justify that person. He's going to vindicate that person. So why are you saying, God, kill them? You know, God, do this, God, do that, God, do the other. God knows you. He knows what you've gone through, and he knows how to vindicate you. So if you want to really be happy, just let God control every area of your life, and he's going to take care of everything. Amen. When my first husband divorced me, he left, took everything but my house, everything, savings, everything, left me with nothing. And he laughed in my face. He said, let's see how you make out now. I'm still here, and I'm still living and laughing and enjoying life. I didn't need his money. His money didn't take him to heaven. And I didn't, well, it was my money too, but I didn't need that money. All I needed to do was to keep Jesus as the center of my life. And I cried and I said, God, you're going to have to take care of me, because I'm just left here with absolutely nothing. And my kids were grown, but then I had teenagers that I was bringing up too. And God took care of us. You know, I didn't bawl and squall and go in the corner and put out an ad. I didn't do a GoFundMe deal or anything else, you know. I just say, God, I need you. I really need you because I'm between a rock and a hard place right now. And God's taking care of me all the days of my life. That's over 25 years now that he's dead and gone. So do you want to serve that kind of a God? He will take care of you no matter what's going on in your life. If you do, I would really suggest you come up to the altar and just let God touch you in a special way tonight. It's that special way that you won't care how complex life is. You know that you serve a risen Savior, and he cares for you deeply. Amen.